Vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K26 with myself, Mo Mootsy, alongside me as always, two-time NBA championship winning coach, Mr. Brennan Sir. Coach, how you doing?
Doing great, Mo. Love this time of year, buddy. First round is so many games.
Oh, yeah. The first round is in full swing. Right now, we're recording this as the Lakers are currently down by 24 points to the Houston Rockets at the start of the fourth quarter. So yeah, we'll save talking about that series till the end in case Houston pull off an incredible comeback. But it doesn't look like that right now. Let's start in the East, Coach. The two teams that you are alumni for, the Pistons and the Magic. I don't think anyone had Orlando being up 2-1 on their bingo card before this series began. We spoke about it after game one. And here we are now. The Pistons won game two at home, and then they dropped game three right on cue in Orlando. Orlando played great basketball at home. I'm expecting Orlando to win game four as well and go up 3-1.
Yeah, I mean, this was, when we did our preview, we thought this was going to be a 4-1 series in favor of the Pistons. And sure enough, I'll be disappointed if they don't go up 3-1. I really will. I think Orlando's playing better. I think all the things that you talked about all season long about them not having a second scorer has come true. And, you know, I mean, the thing is about, you know, our show is we don't have, you know, I mean, other than you with the Celtics, there's no bias, I mean, on our show.
I'm also not biased talking about the Celtics.
No.
I'm only biased talking about the glorious Sacramento Kings.
Oh, wow. Okay. They're not in the playoffs, I don't believe. I'm not sure. I'm on.
It was close. They just missed out just by a little bit?
Just, yeah, exactly. And so I just think that I'll be surprised if the Pistons are able to pull it out. I really will be. I think the Magic are going to upset them. And all the rumors about Jamal Mosley will be greatly exaggerated. And he will have done a great job and kept his job.
You know what's interesting about this series is Jalen Duren bet on himself this season, right? He's a restricted free agent, and he bet on himself, and he had a fantastic year. He was on, well, I think he will be on an All-NBA team. He was a finalist for Most Improved Player. Nickeil Alexander-Walker, obviously, congratulations for winning that award this week. However, in this series, he's being completely and utterly dominated by Wendell Carter Jr., who snagged 17 boards in their last matchup. Wendell Carter is taking your lunch money, Jalen Duren. He's taking money out of your pocket, because if your season ends with a loss as the one seed and you are the player being outplayed by not the first option, not the second option, not the third option, not even the fourth option on the Orlando Magic starting unit, the fifth option, he's put up 14 to 17 in the last game. That's bad news for Jalen Duren and the bank balance of Mr. Jalen Duren.
Well, what it does, it puts pressure now, not on the Pistons, but on some other teams that have some cap space, making him an offer that they would match. The Pistons will match any offer. So will anyone do that? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. There's only a couple of teams that could do that. But he's worth the guy to do it with, you know. But otherwise he's cost himself as much as $20 million a year.
Yeah, he's averaging he's averaging 9 points and 8 rebounds.
Yeah.
In the regular season, he averaged 19.5 points and 10.5 rebounds.
It got so bad on I get my days mixed up, Saturday, that literally they had to take him out in the third quarter and put Paul Reed in.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, people
pool. Yeah. Yep. I mean, not a great look. You want to be paid a max salary and paid like a second option.
Yeah.
You got to start playing like it.
Yeah. I talked to two front office guys this week, and they said, well, he's a max player. And they just throw that term out like, you know, you're going down to the store to get a hamburger or something. And I said, no, he's not a max player. He's a very good player, and I voted him on all our all-pro team, third team. Mm-hmm. I think he's really good, and he had a great year, but he's a max player is someone that carries your team towards the finals.
Yep. Yep. Opinion. Cade is a max player. If you then have two max players eating up like what 25%, 30% of your salary cap sheet, you've got 60% gone.
Yeah.
It's very difficult under this new CBA to construct a roster around two max guys unless they are both capable of carrying a team.
Yeah.
So that's that series. So our predictions are all out the window because the Magic, they're just the toughest matchup in the first round that the Pistons could have had. You know, the size and the physicality. And Paolo Banchero maybe saw the clip of the podcast where you told him to stop dancing on the perimeter and take the ball to the damn hoop.
I'll tell you what, he's playing like he's an all-pro player.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean,
the Magic are really, playing.
Yeah.
Like, it took them 83 games to start playing like the team we thought would be playing from day one of the season.
Well, I challenge that about Franz Wagner. You know, has missed such a large part of the year. But other than that, you know, the other guys, you know, didn't have good years. So, this is when you get paid to play, in my opinion, even though literally you don't get paid any salary in the playoffs. People don't realize that you get no salary in the playoffs. Your salary is for regular season. You get a bonus, your team does, if you go to certain rounds.
You're playing for legacy. You're playing for the reason we all played this game as kids. You dream about these moments, the quest for an NBA championship. If money is your motivating factor, you don't belong in the NBA playoffs.
Yep.
You don't belong here. This is bigger than money. This is, you know, you go down in the history books for what you do in the playoffs. That's what it's about. So let's talk about the winner of Pistons Magic will face the winner of Cavs Raptors, which is tied at two games apiece. Cavs winning both games at home. And after those first two games, you thought, wow, this series could be done in four. The Raptors, with their home court advantage, I mean, they beat OKC at home. They beat Detroit when they were good at home during the regular season. And now they're showing some work to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I don't know, I'm a little bit worried if I'm the Cavs. How are you thinking about this series, Coach?
Two great fourth quarters by the Raptors. Despite injuries to key people, their defense is swarming. They really play hard. And I really enjoy watching them. Scotty Barnes is terrific, but they're getting good play out of RJ. And of course, Brandon Ingram is a phenomenal scorer.
But he's been horrible this season, Coach. This series, Brandon Ingram in games 1, 2, and 3 has been terrible. Game 4, he was 6 of 23 from the field. He did score 8 of his 9 free throws, so he finished with 23 points.
Yeah, I'm telling you, though, the guy is a phenomenal scorer, and he has the danger to, I mean, he is really, I mean, he's an all-star player when he is right, and that's the thing you worry about. He hasn't played well, and they're still 2-2. Yeah,
because game 3, he was out of the game with foul trouble. He had 4 fouls early in the second half, and they played better without him on the floor. And games 1 and 2, the Cavs shut him down completely. So tonight they were able to get a win. And they're doing this all, by the way, the Raptors, without their starting point guard in Emmanuel Quickley. So
who's out for the series?
He's also their best three-point shooter. What were they tonight? 4 of 30 from three.
Yeah.
Last night, sorry. 4 of 30 from three. Was it last night or tonight? I'm even getting confused.
It was early this afternoon.
Yes. It's 5 a.m. You've got to forgive me. They were 4 of 30, and they won a game in the playoffs in 2026. Do you know how insane that is?
Yeah.
In game 3, similarly, they were 14 of 23. You don't often see teams only put up 23 threes in a game. So they're doing it old school style. I like it. Let's talk about James Harden and Donovan Mitchell. Because James Harden was 6 of 14 tonight with 7 turnovers. Another poor game from James Harden. But I'm not expecting James Harden to be the one to carry this team because you have an all-NBA talent in Donovan Mitchell right next to him. He should be the guy stepping up. And once again, he really struggled for the second game in a row. The defense of the Raptors, the way they're picking him up so high up the court, pressuring him, rushing them. He had 4 turnovers of his own. And he was 6 of 24 from the field tonight.
Yeah, you can't live on those shots that he's taking. you know, I think he was 4 for 12 from threes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
forcing some tough looks.
Yeah. You know, the one thing they have is size over them, and they're not taking advantage of it, in my opinion.
Well, not at all, because I think I read somewhere that in the final 4 minutes, the Cavs didn't get a rebound.
Yeah, about that.
I don't know if that's exactly true, but
I do not know that, to be honest with you. The games are all coming, you know, they're all piling on me the way they're being played. But they, you know, right now the only, you know, those guys are just shooting the majority of the shots to two guards, and you know, Keon Ellis, your Sacramento Kings guy, only gets 4 minutes, no points. And Dennis Schroeder played well in the first quarter, but didn't do much after that. So, yeah, they're
Oh, really, no, they strong. Did get one. They got one rebound in the final 4 minutes. Evan Mobley got one rebound. But the Toronto Raptors got 21 offensive boards in that game.
Yeah, they're small and they're quick. Small for an NBA team. And
yeah.
They really play hard.
And you know who really
Murray
impresses
Boyles
me?
Murray Boyles is a terrific player.
15 and 10 in this game. He's fantastic. I just think Evan Mobley and Jarrett Allen, I don't know, I watch them and it's like, you guys are playing like this is a regular season game. Where's the fight? Where's the toughness? Like, I get it. On the stat sheet, Jarrett Allen had 15 rebounds, but it just doesn't feel like he's impacting in that way.
Yeah, the Cleveland's philosophy during the regular season is spacing and shooting threes, beating people off the dribble, kicking for threes. And if you're watching some of the teams that are really doing well in the playoffs, they're playing more a half-court game. They're keeping teams to under 100 points. You know, I mean, just think that the Cavaliers scored 89 points today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the Celtics are another team that just, they're playing really good defense.
Yeah, and the Cavs shot 25% from three, so they're never going to make it shooting like that. And it also, the game was ugly, man. I tweeted about it earlier. I said, this looks like I'm watching a pickup game. It was ugly on both sides, but ugly was good for the Raptors. Jamal Shedd as well, a player I want to give some love to, forcing that 8 second violation down the stretch. Huge I love those play. Kind of players, you know, that just make those little defensive plays. It's not going to be on a stat sheet anywhere, but,
that was
you know, you see
play.
Him.
Yep, I love that.
You see him doing all that kind of stuff. The Atlanta Hawks really disappointed me because they were up 2-1 at home with a chance to go 3-1 up. Listen, when you got your opponent on the ropes, you better throw that haymaker, okay? Go up 3-1, head back to New York, try to close it out. Worst case, you come back home, and then you close out at home. Instead, the Knicks, and I was really impressed. Mike Brown put together a great game plan to tie up the series and regain home court advantage. I think I called this one 7 games, and I said Knicks in 7. But how are you looking at the series now?
Yeah, and I think what the key in this series, you know, Bridges is not doing anything. For the Knicks.
Five first-round picks.
But the kid McBride has been really good off the bench. He's mm-hmm. quick. They're playing with three guards, so they need to play him, I think. So they're getting really good play off of him. Mitchell Robinson is just comes in and bangs, you know. And OG, I think, has been terrific, you know, mm-hmm. for the Knicks. And Towns, you know. Towns had a triple-double.
20, 10, and 10.
You know, and so, you know, they have to, but they were ready to play. They were mm-hmm. ready to play, and that's what good teams do. They go and they win on the road, and that's what they did, and that was impressive.
Yeah, they were fighting for their life because going down 3-1 in a series is not ideal.
My guy, as you know, I am the hugest Jalen Johnson fan, and mm-hmm. he can't find him. Can't find him. He can't make his shot. He's 4 for 12 in this game. Just got his butt kicked, I thought. I just thought that was really bad. I mean, you know, so I think it was really bad, and I think, you know, the Knicks will go up 3-2 when they get home.
Yeah. It's tough being that number one option now in the playoffs compared to the regular season. The entire game plan is built around stopping you.
Absolutely.
Right? And yeah. CJ McCollum 0-4 from behind the arc as well in the last game, which obviously doesn't help. But I think it's a learning experience for Jalen Johnson. And talking about Miles Bridges, or Mikal Bridges, sorry, who has been terrible in this series, it's weird, the playoffs, because if they do advance and let's say the Celtics advance and they face each other, I think he'll be so important for that series. It's just this series, he's just playing bad and maybe it's not the right kind of matchups for him. And he has been massively disappointing.
Yeah. Again, the three guards that they have on, I think it's a really unique combination. Two of the three are great. They're like all defensive team type defenders. CJ McCollum's not, but he's mm-hmm. an all NBA type of offensive player and is playing pretty well. So I just think that, I think it's, if they can get by, this is a tough matchup, I think, for them. If they get by it, I think it's really, they will have had maybe as tough a test as you could have in the first round, in my opinion.
Yeah. And shout out to Jonathan Kuminga as well, getting playoff minutes. Who would have thought that Jonathan Kuminga is capable of playing meaningful minutes in meaningful games?
Steve Kerr. No, not Steve Kerr.
Yeah. What's in the series that Steve Kerr is coaching? What's the score? Oh, wait, they're at home watching on TV. Don't. Shout out to Kuminga, man. So the Cavs and Raptors are tied to a piece. The Knicks and the Hawks are tied to a piece. The number one seed Pistons are down 2-1. And the world-famous Boston Celtics are up 3-1 on the Philadelphia 76ers, who saw Joel Embiid return to action tonight. Happy for Joel, getting back out there on the court.
Yeah, no, just to come back from surgery that quickly was good.
Shout out to him.
They really look outmatched. So I it's funny, you know, Tatum for a while almost looked human, and then kind of got it together late. But I just like, Pritchard was fabulous. Jaylen Brown was awesome. And I just really like the way that Joe's got him playing right now.
I think people, first of all, people hate the Boston Celtics, but I also think people don't understand. There was a stretch of this game where the Celtics went on a run and the lineup was Jason Tatum and four bench players. Now, during the playoffs, coaches cut their rotation. Joe Mazzulla goes five deep. The last three games, he's gone five deep into his bench. So you have a lineup of Tatum, Pritchard, Shireman, Jordan Walsh, and Vucevic, right? So you've got a guy who in Vucevic you traded for because you were trying to save money on Anthony Simons' salary. Cool. You've then got Pritchard, Walsh, and Shireman, who are all late draft picks in the first round. So this is just a credit to not just the coaching staff, but also the front office, but more importantly, the players for doing the work themselves, but the player development pipeline of the Celtics. And this is something I was thinking about because I was watching Spurs Portland and I was like, yeah, Luke Kornet, he's looking solid for the Spurs, and Time Lord Rob Williams is looking great for Portland. And there are so many players out there in the association now that have come from the Celtics that are going on and contributing in different places. But the development of these players, who would have thought that Peyton Pritchard would take the most shots? He took 21 shots in a big game for the Boston Celtics. And he's just playing with fearless confidence, finished with 32 points. And he's not a liability on defense that people would assume him to be from just looking at him. The Celtics, fantastic. They shot 45% from behind the arc, and you can't beat them when they're shooting the lights out like that.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no, I like them. They'll clinch at home next, I think Tuesday, whenever they play next, and that should be, and that's what they need. They need to get a little rest, you know.
Yeah, and for the Sixers, you know, we already said salute to Embiid for getting back on the court, but I like the Sixers a lot more without Embiid. I think that the game slows down too much with Embiid, and Maxey and Edgecombe play their best when they're not being slowed down by anything.
Yeah. Yeah. You can see Maxey's really bothered by the broken finger or whatever, dislocated finger. The best thing about them is they have, those two young kids are going to be terrific guards. Other than that, there's not a hope for the Sixers down the road, my opinion. It's not a good job down the road. You got Embiid, who doesn't play many games.
And his salary is got three ridiculous. More years on it, 55, 58, and 67 million or something.
Ridiculous. And then Paul George, you know, way too big a contract. The guy should have gotten a 2-year deal, not a 4-year deal. You know, I just think that they're a team that is really on the slide, going mm-hmm. the wrong way, unfortunately for them.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in Maxi Anetokounmpo as a backcourt. But
oh, yeah, it's good.
You didn't move on from Embiid, and now I don't know a team in the NBA that's going to take on that contract for a guy with that little availability.
I think there's an old saying that no one in the NBA is untradeable. I really think this guy is. With the first and second apron.
Yeah, because Paul George has looked okay. He's looked pretty good in stretches in this series.
I want to take what he took. That's what I'm going to do.
You want to take Ettman?
No.
That's what he took.
I don't know what he took, but he
that's what he got suspended for.
Well, he looks good since he took that stuff, whatever it was. He looks a lot better than before he took it.
Coach, I'm going to tell you right now, he ain't need to take none of that. Trust me.
Joking. Whatever he got, he did good.
Do you know what he got? Do you know what he really got? He got 25 game suspension. So yeah. That means he rested for over a month while everyone else was playing through the 82 game regular season. Yeah, that's what he got. Almost, he just got some days off.
Yeah. No, a lot of money off.
Oh, hell yeah. But I think he'll be all right. You know, tough game for the Sixers, down 3-1. Cool. Let's hold it over to the West. Quickly talk about the Thunder and the Suns. There's a big discussion in NBA circles right now about the way OKC is officiated. I have no problem with the way that OKC is officiated on defense, and people say they get away with this and they get away with that. I'm like, cool. Yeah. My issue is the refs need to call it both ways.
Yeah, no.
Because you can't get away with everything on defense, and then on the other side, someone breathes near you and you get free throws. I don't like that. And I think that's also on the teams, the opponents they're playing, to set that physicality when the game begins.
I've been in this game between 48 years in the NBA. The best teams get the best whistle. Forever. Because they're the best team and they play the best. They play defense better, they play offense better. And the other people bitch about it, okay? Play better. There's no, you know, Phoenix has had a nice year, but even without Jalen Williams, they're not in the same category with them. You know, so I just, you know, and Booker, you know, is not having a great series. Dylan Brooks played really well. But they're playing really without a center. You know, no Mark Williams, so they really don't have much of a chance, in my opinion. But OKC is, they're getting through this series the way you want to, hopefully a 4-game sweep.
Yeah, they're walking through it. And when they do walk through it, they will face either the Lakers or the Rockets. Now, the Lakers are up 3-0, but in 6 minutes and 23 seconds, that could change to 3-1 because the Rockets are still up by 17. But you got to feel good if you're the Lakers going back home next game, back at the Staples Center. I'm not going to call it Crypto Arena. Back at the Staples Center. Austin Reeves may be returning. Luka did an on-court workout today. He may be returning soon. You got to be feeling good if you're the Lakers. But I don't know, Coach. When we spoke earlier, you didn't seem so confident.
I think the Houston still has a better, more talented team. You know, with Luka out. You know, with Luka out.
There's but with KD talent. Out, though.
Yeah. But if KD gets back, it's an ankle injury. If he gets back, that really helps them. Austin Reeves coming back, he's been out so long, it'll be very difficult for him to get back. And, you know, when he comes back, who doesn't play? That's a big thing. I'll tell you what, the guy that's been absolutely incredible is your Celtics. Marcus Smart.
Mm-hmm.
He is just, I think he is, him and LeBron have just been carrying them. And Rui Hachimura making shots and Luke Kennard. I mean, these guys. So the talent is not there. I mean, these other guys, first game they lost in the series, they out-rebounded the Lakers 21-3. There's never been a team that out-rebounded anyone 21-3 on the offensive glass. And lost
and still lost. Yeah. Ridiculous. You
know, yeah, it's absurd. So I just think that if they win tonight, which they will, that then all of a sudden they can go in. They can win in L.A. And then if they do that, they're going to win at home. Now it could be game seven. I know it's, you know, defies all odds. I get that. But they're capable of it. That's all I'm saying. And okay. They got Ime Udoka. Pretty good coach.
So all the fans right now want the Rockets to fire Ime Udoka. They hate Ime Udoka and the lineups he puts out and the decisions he makes and so on and so forth. I once again will say this, and I've said throughout the year, how do you have a front office when your star point guard gets injured before the season, goes through an entire season without adding a point guard? Yeah. When you look at some of the moves that were made throughout the year, like look at Ayo Dosunmu, 43 points the other night for the Timberwolves. He was available for trade. Look at CJ McCollum torching the Knicks in the first few games. He was available for trade. They used the Rockets, sat on their hands and did nothing. Now, Fred VanVleet was so important to them because he controls the game and doesn't turn the ball over. Right. Steven Adams was so important to them because of what he does on the offensive glass. Cool, I understand it. But as a front office, if you have just traded for Kevin Durant and you want to make a run this year, it is your responsibility to go out there and give Ime Udoka the necessary people on his roster. And people will tell me Reed Shepard. Okay, cool. I like Reed Shepard. He's a good player. You have to know your personnel. You have to know who a coach like Ime Udoka wants to play and doesn't want to play. This is the thing. Like, on NBA 2K, we can put out all these great lineups and it can work fantastically. This is real life. If I know I have a coach working for me that plays a certain style, I want to get in players that will fit that certain style.
100%.
Okay, and so people are like, oh, if I was in charge of the Rockets, I'd just play Reed Shepard 39 minutes a night and we'd be fine. Okay, good luck. Do you not think that if that was the solution, they would have done it by now?
No. See, what they did is they had cap space and they spent a lot of money on some fringe players, older players that they didn't need.
Capella, Finney-Smith.
Of the world, the Dorian Finney-Smith.
Was Okogie free agent? No, Okogie was trade.
My guy, I love him, Uncle Jeff, you know, yep. Green, you know, these are players that if you had the space, you could have gone out and gotten a player in an emergency. Yep. That's all I'm saying. And it's easy to second guess. That's what we're doing right now. But that's what we're allowed to do on this
Hindsight
show.
Hindsight is 2020.
Yes, 100%. So, but assuming they win tonight, I think they have a fighting chance to come back and win a game in LA. That's all I'm going to say. And then, you know, and then see if they can get some momentum. And the other thing is, when you have LeBron playing, and Marcus Smart, every loose ball, there's a chance that guy could get hurt. He plays like he's a middle linebacker. He's the best.
Do you know what's fascinating? Like that game three, where Houston were in the lead with 30 seconds to go, and the Lakers came back and they won it overtime. But the four Lakers out there on the court was just walking back on defense with their head down as if accepting they've lost the game. Marcus Smart goes and gets that steal and that change. And like these are plays that are the difference between winning and losing. So
he has been so good for them. And he was recruited by Mr. Luka Doncic.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep. People wonder why Marcus Smart is my favorite player in the NBA. That's the best way to play basketball.
I thought he was physically done through injuries when he went to Memphis. And he's now like found the fountain of youth. He's been tremendous.
Okay, so the Lakers have just emptied their bench. So I'm assuming that's going to be a win for the Rockets. So now 3-1. Another series that's 3-1. The Timberwolves are up 3-1 on the Denver Nuggets. But they will be without Anthony Edwards and Dante DiVincenzo moving forwards. DiVincenzo, a non-contact Achilles tear, apparently. But he's getting it operated on by the same surgeon, I think, who did Jason Tatum. So he should be in good hands, fingers crossed. And Anthony Edwards, I'm not sure his timetable to return, but I heard it was for the rest of the series.
Probably the rest of the season, in my opinion.
Wow.
Probably the rest of the season, in my opinion.
So, the Denver Nuggets have been down 3-1 before, and they've come back and won. In the bubble, they were down 3-1 twice and came back to win. Do you think they can do it again here?
Oh, they could because of these injuries. Yeah, they could because of these injuries. And two of the games are at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they could. You know, okay. Do I think they will? But I don't.
I don't.
I don't. But I think there's a little something going on with Denver right now, it looks like. In my opinion, yep. I've seen this look before in players' eyes. And but I'll tell you what, I give Gobert credit. McDaniel's been sensational. Julius yep. Randle's terrific. Their front court's been great. And the backcourt with AO, Bones Highland, gives them such quickness in the backcourt. I mean, that's where they've really been doing great, is their quickness in the backcourt, you know, defensively.
Yeah. I don't want to pile on Jokic. Everyone seems to be having a party about, you know, no. Jokic is playing bad, so on and so forth. I want to highlight Rudy Gobert. Like,
yeah.
Rudy Gobert, for years, has been getting his ass kicked by Jokic in matchups. Jokic right. has been putting up 40 points on him for fun. And he's figured something out now that, you know, it's not figured out a magic trick, but as in, he's been playing great, disciplined defense and doing his job and doing it well. And he has severely impacted who a lot of people call the best player in the world. And so I want to salute to Rudy Gobert after 10 years of slander and jokes on his name that everyone laughs about Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert has been fantastic in this series. Jaden McDaniels called out the entire Nuggets roster for being bad defenders. Went into game three, backed it up with a 20-point win and dunked on Jokic. And then, here's what I wanted to talk about. Jaden McDaniels going for the layup when the game is over. Nikola Jokic runs the length of the court. Okay, first of all, I never seen Nikola Jokic run that fast. If he ran like that on defense, maybe the Nuggets wouldn't be down 3-1. Okay, that's the first thing. But then he gets there and he doesn't really do anything. He just puts his arms to the side. So Jaden McDaniels grabs his jersey and I'm like, well, why have you run over there then? If you're not going to run over there and knock him out, what are you doing? What's the running for? You know, causing scene. And more to the point, this whole thing about unwritten rules. Oh, it's an unwritten rule that you don't. No, how about you shut up? You're down 20. You got your ass kicked. That's what you're really mad at. You're not really mad at Jaden McDaniels scoring a layup. You're mad at yourself. So how about you learn to play some defense, learn how to hit some shots, and stop being mad at Jaden McDaniels for backing up his smack talk? Because he's been on some real gangster shit this whole playoffs, and he's backed up every word of it.
I have no problem with what Jaden McDaniel did. None at all, you know. You know, the game, you're allowed to do whatever you want in the game. Nothing, he did nothing wrong.
The clock is still running. Where does his unwritten rule come from?
We're playing for a world championship. This is not a regular season, warm and fuzzy game, 1 of 82. This is for the world champion.
And also, yeah, for all the Nuggets fans and Nuggets coaches and Nuggets players who say there's an unwritten rule, the Nuggets played the Celtics when Kyrie was on the Celtics. The Nuggets had won that game. They were up. And Jamal Murray hit a shot at the very end. And the Celtics were mad about it. So why does the unwritten rule not apply to Jamal Murray?
Sure.
Tell me. Tell me.
No. No, I mean, again, always people that complain are people that are losing games. That's all. So I don't worry about that.
I just think the whole unwritten rule thing is stupid. Well, if there's time on the clock,
that's why
we talked about this earlier in the year when Giannis did it to the Bulls and Vucevic got upset, and right. when Derek Queen did it and people got upset.
In both cases, there was no one within a half court of the guy.
Yeah, I don't give a damn, bro. Right? This sportsmanship, cool. Nah, get out of here. If there's time on the clock, I must call that hoop.
Not one guy in Denver ran back. He ran down the court, not to block a shot. The ball was laid in already. He ran there just to get in the guy's face.
He was rattled.
Yeah.
He was rattled. I did not like it. I thought it was corny. Listen, take your ass kicking and go home. Come up with a better game plan for the next game.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah. They got to show up. And I'm sure they will. They're favored by 11.5 points, even though we're not a betting site. They're favored by 11.5 tomorrow. So I expect them to win, you know.
They have to win. Yeah. You're going back home. The other team is without their best player and an extremely valuable player in DiVincenzo as well. And all of this, you have to win. There is no two ways about it, Denver. Because if you don't, then I think, I don't know what's going to happen over there, but something's going to happen over there.
Mo, let's get to the game of the day in my book.
Yeah, in your book, because mine was the Celtics kicking Philly's ass. I
know. Yeah. Whoopee, whoopee. Okay. Savor and cherish it. Was the Spurs in Portland?
Oh, yeah. I was worried, Coach. I was a little worried.
Portland up 17 at the half.
Mm-hmm.
Wimby playing 17 out of 24 minutes. Not that effective. Not bad, but not that effective. They don't look good. And then in the second half, I've only seen this less than five times over 30, 40 years. This happened. Within 5.5 minutes, they cut it from 17 to 4. But they outscored them 73 to 35 in the second half.
Mm-hmm. They brought the belt.
That's 40 points.
And here's the thing. I criticized De'Aaron Fox before, I think on this show last time we spoke, about him not showing up. He showed up big time tonight, 28 points. He showed up big time, 6 boards, 7 assists. I think he was great for them. Wembanyama ended up finishing with 27 points and 11 boards. Castle was solid, as always.
At the end, I gave him 12 boards at the end.
Okay. We even got a couple minutes of Big Bismack Biyombo at the end of the game. How about that? But no, huge win for the Spurs to take a 3-1 lead in this series, right?
Tremendous.
And, you know, Wembanyama coming back from his concussion protocol, even though they didn't want him to come back, the NBA said he couldn't come back. Then he requested like an independent examiner who then cleared him to play or something to that end. I'm not exactly sure what happened with that whole commotion. But, you know, I think for Portland,
the NBA's doctor is independent. It's not that he works for the league. You know, they have independent doctors around. The biggest thing on the concussion, there's a lot of studies that have been done with it. And this is really something that people are not aware of. Obviously, you worry about him getting another shot to the head, which easily could have happened in Portland because it's very physical the way the game is played. But the research has now shown that in the first 30 to 90 days after a concussion with any athlete, they suffer lower extremity injuries to their legs.
Oh, wow.
Legitimate. And that's the biggest worry, not for their head injuries. It's lower extremities. And the reason is because the brain not being its peak, they're not able to react as quick and they end up hurting their cells down in the lower extremities. Very few people know that. I will send you the article for your understanding. Yeah. I did not know it till research.
Fascinating. Well, fingers crossed Wemby doesn't pick up any injuries because...
Absolutely. We can't afford him.
And I need to see him versus OKC in the conference finals. But, you know, for Portland, it's tough. Scoot Henderson had a horrible outing, 0-7 from the field. You know, here's a thing that they're running into now. Donovan Clingan, I like him as a player. I think he's a real talented young player. But he is what we used to joke about Rudy Gobert being. The offense being so limited that even though he's a great defender, you're basically playing 4-on-5 on the other side. That's how I'm looking at Donovan Clingan in this series.
In this series, because the guy, he can't score on him in the low post.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
And that 3-ball's not going down.
No. So, and if he's out there shooting threes, God bless him.
1 of 6
tonight. He's a banger inside, you know. It's a shot blocker. He's a tough kid. He's super young. He's like 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But Scoot Henderson, after having 31 in this second game,
I think so.
Was it first or second game? And today he was just abysmal. I think Drew Holiday's been terrific this whole series. But Dini Alava, this guy is such a competitive guy. And this guy almost draws fouls every time he goes to the basket. He got 9 free throws today. He could have had 15. I mean, He's really a good player, and he's really done a great job for them. So, I mean,
I enjoyed Steph Castle punking him a little bit there. You know, when he fouled Steph, the ref didn't call it, and then Steph put the ball in his chest. He got a little chippy. I'm here for that in the playoffs.
He should have got ejected on that because he should have got two T's for that. One where he put the ball in his chest.
Steph? God, now, hell no. This is the playoffs, coach.
No. That's bullshit. And then, you know, but he's... I thought he was. It was his poorest game today. I thought Castle. I thought he.
I like bringing the fire and intensity.
Oh no! But he had a bad game for himself. Defensively, yes, he had a bad game.
Compared to the standards that we hold him to after the season,
that's what I'm saying.
The guy's
I think he's an all-pro player. You know, I think he's at that caliber right now. So I mean, he just didn't have it. But unbelievable second half. I actually text Mitch Johnson after the game and said, I want to borrow your halftime talks from the last two games. Because the second half, they've just been incredible, both games.
Yeah.
So they're really good.
Rumors swirling, coach. There are rumors swirling that in the New Orleans Pelicans search for a new coach, that the defense coordinator for San Antonio, Sean Sweeney, is being considered, as well as Rajon Rondo. Is being considered as well as Darvin Ham and a few other names too. So that's interesting.
Sean Sweeney is the top candidate in my opinion, for any job in the league.
That goes to my original point. Yes. Is the guy in charge of San Antonio's defense may be leaving them, which sounds like not a big deal, but
it's a huge deal.
If you look at the Boston Celtics when they had Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, Tom Thibodeau was in charge of the defense, and after he left, it wasn't quite the same over there.
No, it's a huge deal because he was the guy at Dallas when running their defense, and they beat OKC and knocked them out of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Got to the finals.
Twice.
Mm-hmm.
Twice they knocked him out. So Sam Presti, I think, has become his agent trying to get him out of San Antonio. Everyone he sees, you need a head coach? Sean Sweeney is the guy to hire. That's the guy. Sam's super smart. And Sean Sweeney will be a head coach when he wants to be. Unless it's an unusual job, he's going to win so many games down there. I would not leave unless you're getting a great job.
Yeah, great salary too. Pelicans gig is a tough gig, man.
That's not a great job.
That's a tough gig to take on. You know, there's a lot going on there.
Wimby or Derek Queen?
I'm a big Derek Queen fan.
Good, I'm glad. Good, I'm
but
glad.
He ain't
I'm
a no big Wimby. Wimby, though.
I'm a big Wimby fan.
Who isn't, coach? Who isn't? Yeah, but that is a wrap on everything happening in the playoffs. If you don't like how your team is doing in the playoffs, or if your team didn't make it to the playoffs, or if your team is in the playoffs and it's going well and you want to keep the good times rolling, then make sure you download NBA 2K26 and live out your playoff dreams over there. You can also run your My Career and go and win a championship with your own player. Or you can even get involved in My Team, and some of the cards coming out of My Team towards the end of the season are absolutely insane. So make sure you get involved with NBA 2K26. The link, as always, is in our description. Coach and I will be back very soon. You guys have been, I've been getting a lot of messages from you guys saying that you missed having the everyday episodes. We can't do the everyday episodes, unfortunately, but we will try and do more regular episodes during the playoffs because there's a lot to talk about and a lot going on. So stay tuned, subscribe to the show on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you may get your podcast from. And until next time, much like Peyton Pritchard this evening, get buckets.